This morning we'd like to talk to you on the sixth chapter, beginning with verse 10, where Paul declares, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual entities in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore." Paul began this epistle telling you how to sit. In the first three chapters, he told you what God had done for you in seating you together with Christ in heavenly places, and just how to sit and enjoy the riches of God's spiritual blessings to us. Then, having got us comfortably seated with Christ, he told us now we are to walk with him, and he showed us how we should walk with the Lord, walking in love, walking circumspectly, and walking in the Spirit. And now he says, stand. Finally, having learned how to sit, having learned how to walk, we now stand against the onslaught of the enemy. You see, God has called us to be His child, and God is a spirit. And so I become a spiritual child of God. My spirit comes alive, which was once dead because of my trespasses and sins. And God has called me to a life in the Spirit. Now, the Bible is constantly affirming that the life in the Spirit is superior to the life in the flesh. That the life in the flesh and the life after the flesh will ultimately lead to frustration, to emptiness, for the life of the flesh is death. But the life in and after the Spirit is peace, it is joy, it is happiness in the Lord. And thus we should walk and live after the Spirit. And God has called me to live after the Spirit, to deny my flesh and to live after the Spirit. Now, God has blessed me with all kinds of spiritual blessings in Christ in the heavenly places. God has then sealed me with His Holy Spirit. And God is working in my life today as He is preparing me for those works that He has ordained that I should accomplish for His glory. God has sent His Son into my life that through the power of Jesus Christ dwelling in me, I might be what God would have me to be. For God desires that I be filled with the Spirit. Now, there are forces that oppose this spiritual life. The first force that is opposing the spiritual life is my flesh. It is a very formidable foe. In chapters 4 and 5, Paul deals with the issues of man's flesh. He tells us that our flesh has a me-first attitude. It desires to exalt itself above others. But Paul tells us that we should walk in the Spirit, and walking in the Spirit is walking in all lowliness and meekness as we esteem others better than ourselves. But my flesh doesn't like that. Self-preservation, they say, is one of the strongest instincts that man has. And so it is very natural for me to try and take care of myself and be interested in taking care of myself. You see, I want the biggest piece of pie on the tray. I'm always looking out for me. The Bible says it should not be. In living in the Spirit, I should be really looking out for others more than myself. Be considerate of others. My flesh, according to Paul, by nature is greedy. But he declares that I am to put off that old man and his greediness, that I might put on Jesus Christ, who lived not for himself but for others, who lived a very selfless life, who ultimately gave himself for others. And he is the example by which I am to live, living not for my own self, but for others. Paul tells us that it is a part of our fleshly nature to want to fight for our own rights, to stick up for myself, to assert myself, that I have certain rights and they have violated my rights and I need to take revenge. And my flesh loves to take revenge, to get even. But Paul tells us that we should be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. My flesh seeks sexual excitement and gratification. Paul says, I'm to walk in purity and in righteousness and in love. My flesh loves to waste time by being entertained. And yet Paul tells us that we need to redeem the time, to buy up every opportunity, not to waste time, because of the evil days in which we live. My flesh wants its own way. But Paul tells me that I am to submit to one another in love and in all submitting myself to God. Now that's hard on me. You see, that's contrary to my nature. That's contrary to my flesh. And thus it is not easy for me to live after the Spirit as God wants me to live. To live after the Spirit, I have a real fight against my flesh, against my own nature, because I just can't do these things naturally. It isn't natural for me to want to be kind and tender-hearted and forgiving. My nature is to get even, to get revenge. But I want to live after the Spirit. And in living after the Spirit, I find that I am in conflict with my flesh. Paul told us that in Galatians. The flesh is warring against the Spirit, and the Spirit is warring against the flesh, and these two are contrary. And I found that that is so in my own life. I want to live after the Spirit, but I have a real battle with my flesh. But not only do I have a battle with my flesh, but there is another tremendously strong force that is working against me, living and walking in the Spirit. And it is a spirit force. But it is the power of darkness. It is the principalities and powers of darkness under the leadership of the devil that I have to fight when I seek to live a spiritual life. That great outside spiritual power that is opposed to me walking with Jesus Christ. And here is where the real battles take place. Paul tells us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these principalities and powers, these rulers of darkness, these spirit entities in high places. So my real battle is a spiritual battle, and what my flesh does is a manifestation of that which has already been wrought within the spirit. In other words, the real place of warfare is in the realm of the spirit. Jesus fought the real battle in the Garden of Gethsemane, not on the cross. The real battle was fought in the Garden of Gethsemane and was won in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, not my will, thy will be done, and he submitted to the will of God. There the battle was won, and the cross was just the outworking of that which had already been wrought by the Spirit in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he fought the forces of darkness. Satan comes to me, and he said, do you see what he did to you? That was a dirty, low blow. Tintypes and powdered flash. You don't have to take that kind of stuff. You can get even. And God's Spirit says, what difference? And so the battle goes on between my spirit and Satan, who would say, hey, now don't let him get by with that. You know, you have your right. And, what am I going to yield to? Am I going to yield to the Holy Spirit who says, hey, conquer with love? A soft answer turns away wrath. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving. And there's a battle that rages. Now, if I come out swinging, seeking retribution, seeking to get even, that means that I already lost the battle in the spirit. I said, I'm going to get even with that guy if it's the last thing I do. I'm not going to let him get by with that kind of stuff, And it means that I decided at that point to get revenge and thus stumbled in the battle. The real battle is spiritual. It takes place in the realm of the Spirit. And every time there are these forces, God's Spirit speaking to my heart, giving me the right instruction, telling me the right way to go, and then there is that satanic spirit that would lead me the other way. What do I yield to? And so the real battle is not flesh and blood, but is spiritual. As I battle against these principalities and powers that are seeking to destroy me, to bring me down. Therefore, stand. I have to stand against these principalities and powers. These forces are really powerful. I am really no match for them. And they really appeal to my flesh and would pull me down spiritually. Now, because it is a spiritual warfare, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds of the enemy. So because it is a spiritual warfare, I must be armed with spiritual weapons. not with fleshly weapons, because it's a spiritual warfare. And so Paul tells us to put on the whole armor of God, and these things that we are to put on are spiritual forces of righteousness and power and strength. The first thing that I am to put on, Paul said, is truth. Why? Because Satan is constantly coming against me with all kinds of lies. As he came to Eve in the garden, this experience is so desirable. It is so beautiful. Surely God isn't fair in trying to withhold you from this exciting experience. God is not right in telling you not to do that. Oh, God is really wrong. You won't suffer any consequences by doing it. It really doesn't matter that much to God. You can go ahead and you can get by with it without suffering any consequences. God's law really doesn't apply to you in this case. It's for another age. And so Satan comes and he seeks to rationalize our indulging ourselves after the appetites of our flesh, telling us that it really won't matter, telling us that we can get by with it, telling us that God doesn't really care, or that there won't really be any answering to God for these things. And so I need to arm myself with the truth of God, that I will be able to stand against the lies of the enemy. I need to know the truth. And therefore, one of the first and most important things is that I arm myself with truth, because Satan is going to come against me with lies. And truth is the strongest defense against a lie. Then I am to arm myself with righteousness, which is nothing more than doing the right thing. You know, there is a right thing to do, there's the wrong thing to do. There's a right way to do it, and there is a wrong way to do it. Now, there is a philosophy today that would deny this. There is a philosophy today that said, well, it all depends on the circumstances, the situation, whether it is right or wrong. And there is no real universal right. It's all relative. But the Bible does tell me that there is a right and there is a wrong, and the Bible does establish the standard for that which is right and that which is wrong. And I need to, in my own heart, determine that I'm going to do the right thing. And a lot of times our problems arises from the fact that we are not determined necessarily to do the right thing. I'm going to do the thing which is easiest. I'll do the best under the circumstances or whatever. Rather than just determining, I'm going to live a life of righteousness. I'm going to do what is right in the eyes of God and have that set in my mind. I need to have that kind of a mindset. I'm going to do what's right no matter what the cost. Arming ourselves with righteousness. And then he said, arming yourself with the good news of the gospel of peace. You know, there is so much strife in the world today. Look around you. There's just a lot of strife in marital relationships. We'll be talking about this tonight. Strife between a husband and his wife. Strife between the parents and their children. Strife between the children themselves and the sibling rivalries. So within your home, before you ever get to work, you've faced with strife often. Strife on the freeways, trying to deal with the insane drivers. Strife when you get to work, trying to deal with all of the pressures and the issues that are there. And our lives are fraught with strife. And yet, we are to arm ourselves with peace. God wants me to live in peace. Now, peace does not come by asserting my way and insisting on my way. In Ecclesiastes, it says that yielding pacifies great offenses. Have you ever realized how many of these arguments that you have, the strife that you get into, how quickly it could all be resolved if you just give in? If you just say, well, maybe you're right, honey. I thought it was different, but you're probably right. How that would just end the whole thing right there. It'd all be over. But I have a hard time doing that. I know I'm right. There were 30. That's what it said on the program, 30. No, it was 20. It was not. You weren't paying any attention. It was 30, stupid. You know, and so over a dumb little thing of whether or not there were 20 or 30 birds sitting on a fence, you know, you can end up in divorce court. Just because you're not willing to just give in and to yield the point. You know, we are insisting so often on these silly, non-essential things. Now, there are certain areas where, you know, righteousness is involved in there. You've got to be firm. But on a lot of these non-essential things, we are insisting that we're right. You know, a lot of times I wish I had shut up and not insisted, because when I went home to prove I was right, when I looked it up, I found out, uh-oh, I was wrong, you know. And, oh, it's so much harder then after, you know, you've had this big blow-up and everything has, you know, been shattered and all, then to say, well, you were right, you know, I was wrong. I really thought, man, yeah. How much better to just yield? It really doesn't matter. Maybe you are right, you know. It doesn't matter. And if we could only learn to do that. God wants us to live at peace. And many times the best way to live at peace is just to yield the point. It doesn't make that much difference anyhow. Surely it isn't big enough that it should be blown into this big exaggerated conflict. Another bit of armament that I need spiritually is faith. That confidence in God. That assurance that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I need, above all that I may ask or even think. That confidence in God. How important it is as I get into this spiritual battle and I really begin to be pressured by the enemy and I feel my own weakness and I feel myself slipping, how important it is to know that God is able to keep me from falling. And to give me the strength and the help that I need when otherwise I know I would be going down. That faith and confidence in God. Now, there are a lot of people today that are teaching faith and confidence in yourself. We hear so much of self-confidence, self-reliance, self-assertiveness. It's all the way through self-image and self-love. How far that is from the words of Jesus who said, apart from me, you can do nothing. I need to know my limitations. I need to know that apart from Christ, I'm weak. I'm no match for the enemy. If I get into this self-reliance and self-assertiveness and all, when I come up against the enemy, he's just going to beat me silly. Because I am no match for these principalities and powers that are warring against me. But I have faith and trust in God, and I know that they are no match for him. And that he is able to give me his strength in my weakness. And his victory in my defeat. Another bit of armament that we have is salvation. Paul calls it the helmet of salvation. He is actually seeing the Roman soldier put on his gear to go out to battle. He puts on this metal skirt. Then he puts on this metal breastplate. And then he pulls on his boots. And then he puts on his metal helmet, and he takes his shield, and he is preparing himself to go out to battle. And so he sees the picture of the Roman soldier going to battle, but he sees you going to battle against these forces and these entities, and you arming yourself with these spiritual defenses that God has given to us. And this defense of salvation, God has saved me from a wasted life, the life of the flesh. The Bible teaches us that if we live after the flesh, it's just a wasted life. You know, it's sad to see a person come to the end of the road of the life of flesh and come to that awful realization that they've wasted their whole life. For a life lived for self, a self-centered life, a selfish life is a wasted life. And ultimately, people come to that realization when they get down towards the end of the road. And it's a sad and tragic thing to see that realization come over a person. My God, I've wasted my whole life. And they're at the age when there's no chance to recover. Salvation. I've been saved to glorify God through my walk in the Spirit. And when I realize that God has saved me, that I might be his instrument doing his work, that my body might be the temple of the Holy Ghost, that my body might be the instrument through which God can accomplish his purposes. Then I'm not going to be using my body for my own selfish desires or interest. Another bit of armament is the Word of God. The Word of God is a tremendous defensive weapon for us when Satan attacks. Now, people say, many times the commentators say, that up until this point, all you've had was defensive weapons. But now as you take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, you have now your first offensive weapon. It is true that the Word of God is a good offensive weapon, but unfortunately, many people use it as an offensive weapon only. They use it as a club to beat everybody to death. You know, they're always shooting scriptures at you in a cutting way and always trying to cut you down with a word. Hear the Word of God is a defense. Jesus used the Word of God to defend himself against each attack of Satan. When Satan came to him and said, "Why don't you command this stone to be made bread?" He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." When Satan said, look, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And when Satan then said, all right, then jump off of the temple here, for he will give his angels charge over you. Jesus said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And he used the word of God as a defense against every attack of Satan. And God's word in my heart is a tremendous defense against the attacks of the enemy. Thy word, David said, have I hid in my heart, O Lord, that I might not sin against you. John, in writing his first epistle, said, I write unto you, young men, because you are strong, because the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. How did they overcome the wicked one? Through the word of God abiding in their hearts. Oh, how God's word will keep you in the hour of temptation. When Satan is really coming and assaulting your soul and you feel like I can't stand, I'm slipping, I'm going to fall, how God's word will come and strengthen you and bolster you, how you need to get the word of God planted in your heart. What a tremendous defense God's word is against the attacks of the enemy. Arming myself with the word of God that I might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil and against those principalities and powers that assault my soul. Finally, Paul says, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And again, what a tremendous defense. When Satan comes in like a flood and I feel myself weakening, just that prayer, oh God, help me. God, I need your help. Lord, strengthen me now. You see, Satan is out to destroy you. He's out to just bring you down, and your flesh is working in concert with him. It's seeking to destroy your relationship with God, your fellowship with God, your spiritual walk. But God has given to us armament whereby we can stand in the hour of temptation. We don't have to fall. And prayer, what a tremendous strength it is. What a resource it is when I am in need, I'm in the midst of the battle, to just throw up that prayer to God, God help me. And many times that's all I can say. I'm too weak. I'm too far gone. Oh, God, help me. But God does hear and God does answer and he does strengthen and he will give victory. Therefore, stand. Sometimes when we get in conflict with the enemy and it gets tough, we want to turn and run. It doesn't say, therefore, run. Says, therefore, stand. Someone pointed out that as you study the armament that the fellow is putting on, there is nothing to defend the backside of him, only to defend the front. You got to be facing the enemy to have defense. You turn and run, and you're vulnerable. No breastplate to cover the backside of you. Therefore, stand. And God is calling you today to stand. You say, oh, but I have fallen. The enemy came in and he really has wiped me out. And man, I really fell hard. Well, the Bible doesn't say, therefore, lie there. It says, therefore, stand. Get up on your feet, for he is able to cause you to stand. He's able to strengthen you today. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And God is able to keep you from falling, and God is able to keep you standing against every onslaught of the enemy, and God wants you to stand. Yes, it is a battle. Someone this week was complaining to me of some of the trials they're going through. I said, hey, who said it was going to be easy? You know, we'd like to have an easy path. Man, Lord, if you'd just line it with pink felt and put a few ruffles in, you know. Velvet even, Lord. Just make it easy for me. No one said it's going to be easy. It's a tough battle. The flesh is a formidable foe, and Satan is even more formidable, and he works through my flesh. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's difficult. Therefore, stand. Arm yourself. God has given you the equipment, the weapons, the defenses. Arm yourself and stand against the enemy. And having done all, stand. Shall we pray? God, help us today. Help us, Lord, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, putting on the whole armor. Oh God, may we just equip ourselves with all that You have made available. Lord, it is a tough struggle. The enemy does come as a roaring lion seeking to devour. We need Your help, Lord. We cry to You for strength. Hold us, Lord. Hold us up when we would fall. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you have fallen. I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room. The pastors will be back there to help dust you off and get you back on your feet. Standing as God wants you to stand against the attack of the enemy, against the force of your flesh that would bring you down. You can have victory. You can stand. God is able to make you to stand. Romans 14. Therefore, stand. And may you make your stand for Jesus Christ this way. May you experience the power of God working in your life through the armament that God has provided for you. And may you experience this week victory in the areas of your own weakness, where you have stumbled and fallen before. May God this week grant you great victory through Jesus, that your life in Him might be rich and full and strong. In Jesus' name.